Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Hey, I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bible, stand to your feet and turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read this passage of Scripture that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. As we have each and every week, as we have been on this journey called the Growth Chart Series, this is our sixth week that we've been on this. If you've been here every single week, then you have a gold star somewhere in some chart in heaven that you completed every single week of the Growth Chart Series at the Well in Fort Payne. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Following that, we are going to turn all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 20 through 22. But let's begin in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Paul writes and he says this, "And he himself, speaking of Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Here's why he gave them. "For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." I want to say very quickly as we're concluding this growth series today, God wants you to grow up in what? In all things. He doesn't just want you to grow in one area or some areas. He wants you to grow in every area. Verse 16, "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Causes growth of the body. You can cause growth in the body of Christ. Amen. Go with me to Genesis chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 20 through 22. It says this, "Then Noah," this is when Noah and his family have come off of the ark, after being there by divine warning of God, building an ark, and they have been saved. They're the only human beings on the planet. It says, "Then Noah," here's what he did. As soon as he came off the ark, he built an altar to the Lord. And he took every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Verse 21 says, "And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. And when the Lord said," then the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake." Although the imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth, "nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done." Verse 22, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest." This is a promise of God. "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer." This is how you know that God was well acquainted with Alabama, because all we got is winter and summer. There is no fall. There is no spring. It just goes straight hot to straight cold back to straight hot. So God understands. He's well acquainted with our grief here in Alabama. "Winter and summer, then day and night shall not cease." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness, which we've sang about and experienced already so much this morning. And I ask that as we look to your word and as we receive the instruction that comes from heaven today, that you would equip and prepare and edify the body of Jesus Christ to walk out the fullness of your calling and to advance the kingdom of God. We bless you and honor you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord today. As I mentioned earlier, this week concludes our six-week series, which is entitled The Growth Chart, as we've been going through this every single week. And every letter in the word growth is an acronym that stands for something that we believe we should be growing in our faith and in our walk with God. And it's been such an amazing journey as a church. And I also, over in Scottsboro and over at the Well in Huntsville, they've been going through this growth chart series as well. And it's amazing to get to go through this together. together as the family and as the body of Jesus Christ. But it's my hope and it's my prayer, and I really want you to know this, that as you've been attending these past few weeks and you've heard these words about the growth chart, it's my hope and it's my goal, it's my prayer that you have been challenged and encouraged to walk greater with God, that you would walk in a deeper place with God, that you would grow in your knowledge of Him, you would grow in your obedience to Him, you would grow in your devotion to His Word, that you're not just sitting here and just listening, you're not just going home and forgetting, but I actually don't want to see you just remember what I say, but I want you to see you apply what the Word of God says so that you can foster and grow in your walk with God, and you can see the flourishing that you are called to walk in and to have in your life. And so the church is to be a place of edification. In fact, that's what the church is. One of the main purposes of the church is that when you come here, you would leave built up, that you would leave edified, that you would leave, if you come in here burdened, you walk out having gotten rid of those burdens, and you're walking in the fullness of the knowledge of who God created you and called you to be. And I want you to leave here each and every single time that we come together and we gather, whether it's Sunday morning, Wednesday night, if it's a special event, that you would leave here with your faith built up and with the assurance that He who has begun a good work in you, as Paul wrote to the Philippians, will be faithful to complete it even until the day of Jesus Christ. I want you to know if God has started anything inside of you, all His promises that we sang about this morning, they're yes and they find their amen in Him. I want to remind you though of this, as we've been talking about growth, I want to remind you that growth takes time. How many of y'all plant in a garden this year? That seed that you put in the ground didn't produce fruit the next day, did it? It takes time. When you see something grow, as I watch my children, my 9-year-old is a lot bigger than my 3-year-old. Why? Because growth takes time. I can't just expect my 3-year-old to wake up tomorrow and be as big as my 9-year-old or as strong or as mature, because as time goes on, it takes time in order for the process of maturity to take full effect and take root. So as you've been hearing about growth, don't be discouraged when you wake up tomorrow and you're not where you want to be yet. There's going to be time and a process that it takes to step into the fullness of who God called you to be. As we've looked at all of these words, that this acronym that make up growth, but as you remain faithful, as you trust the Lord in your life, guess what? The results will come. You just keep trusting. You just keep being faithful to His Word, faithful to be who He called you to be. And guess what? The results will take care of themselves. Have you ever seen a tree or a plant trying to strain to bear fruit? No, they just do it. Why? Because that's what they're created to do. You were called to be fruitful in the kingdom of God. You were called to make a difference. You were called to be somebody and to do something for the kingdom of God. So you don't have to try to bear fruit. What you need to try to do is remain rooted and grounded in Christ and trust Him and obey Him and leave the rest up to Him, and the fruit will take care of itself. And what will happen is your progress will eventually become evident, and it will become a testimony of God's goodness in your life. That as you begin to grow, all of a sudden, people are going to start noticing growth in your life. They're going to realize you're more mature than you used to be. You treat your wife better than you used to treat her. You're more honest. You don't tell the same jokes you used to tell. You don't make the same bad decisions that you used to make. It will become evident, but it will always point back to the goodness of God in your life. And remember this. The end of something is really the beginning of another thing. So as the growth chart series end, here's what I want to say to you. Don't stop growing. Just because we're stopped talking about the growth chart and we're going to start talking about something else next week, that doesn't mean that you stop focusing on growing. Growing is just a part of being in Christ, because everything that is living, everything that is healthy, everything that is active grows. And so you should always be focused on growing in your walk with God. Instead of the growth series ending, see it as this. This is a launching pad for a new season of extreme development in your life. That we've built the foundation, we've built the launching pad that you can launch off of and continue to grow, not stop growing. You can replace bad habits with good habits. You can become more and more disciplined. You can become more and more kind. You can get your finances in order. You can be a great husband. You can be a great wife. You can overcome depression. You can overcome condemnation. You can grow in every single area of your life. And I want to say this to you today, you can walk in freedom. You can grow into everything that God called you and created you to be. Because how do I know that? Because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not just us straining and trying to be better, trying to do better. It says you allow God to work inside of you. He will work through you. He will work out of you. He will work inside of you to bring about the growth that needs to happen in your life. So before we talk about harvest and wrap this thing up, let's review. We've talked about grace, right? Grace. What is grace? Grace is favor from God. It's favor that we don't deserve, we can't earn. There's nothing that we could do to make ourselves worthy of grace, but he chose to give it anyways. How do we need to grow in grace? We need to grow in receiving grace, and we need to grow in extending grace. Because if we don't receive the grace of God, then we won't have any grace to give to other people. So we need to grow in receiving God's grace, realizing, God, even though I don't deserve it, even though I couldn't earn it, I'm going to receive it because you gave it. And if you gave it, I understand that I need it. But there are other people in my life that they need favor that they don't deserve either, and so I'm going to give it to them. We also need to grow in repentance. Repentance is not just coming to an altar and crying and saying, I'm sorry. The word repentance in the Greek literally means to change your mind, to change your purpose, to change your direction. And I don't know about you, but every single day, there is something that needs to change in my life to conform more and more into the image of Christ. And so I need to live a lifestyle, not just have a moment of repentance, but live a lifestyle of repentance. So I need to grow in that. I need to change. We also talked about offering, which is giving our life completely in obedience to God, offering him everything, not just saying you can have this part of my life, but saying, God, here I am. I am an offering for you to use however, wherever, whenever you want to use me. We talked about worship, where we choose to glorify God because he's worthy, not because we feel like it, not because we're going to get something out of it, but just because we believe that he is the King of all kings, he is the Lord of all lords, and he's deserving of our worship. We talked last week about training. What is training? Training is that we submit ourselves to the instruction of the Word of God so that we can be prepared and equipped, and so that we can in turn train others to be everything that God called them to be. But today, we're going to talk about harvest. Now, harvest is a topic that I think we don't think about or talk about enough in the kingdom of God. When was the last time that we thought about harvest? And maybe you don't even understand what harvest is. Hopefully today I'll be able to better help you understand and explain to you what I mean when I talk about harvest. But the thing about harvest is a law of nature. Because if you sow something, you're going to reap something, right? Just like those of you that planted a garden, you put something in the ground, not in hopes that it would go in there and disappear, but in hopes that one day something would sprout up out of that ground and there would be a harvest that you could get a return for your investment. Nobody puts something in the ground just so that it will hopefully die and never come up. You put a seed in the ground hoping that you'll get a return. You put an investment in a business, or you put, you know, into something else hoping that you'll get a return on your investment. It's a law of nature, but it's also a kingdom principle that we should understand and give attention to. Over in Galatians chapter 6, Paul was addressing the church there in Galatia, and he told them something very important in reference to harvest. I want to read it to you today in Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. He says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived." Now, why would Paul use the phrase "do not be deceived" unless there was going to be very many opportunities in our life for us to be deceived? And so he's warning us. He's making us ready. This is an area that we could get deceived in, that we could turn a blind eye to. Somebody could trick us in, that our heart might even deceive us, because the heart is utterly deceptive and wicked above all. Who can know it? In fact, over in Genesis, we read that the imagination of man is wicked. Your own heart can deceive you sometimes and to trick you into thinking that this is not so. So Paul, in love, he's warning us and he's saying, look, do not be deceived. Here's what you don't need to be deceived about. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap a harvest if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Here's what I want you to understand today. And what Paul is saying to the church in Galatia, and the Holy Spirit thought it so important that he would preserve it in the Holy Scriptures, that we would be able to read it today in 2023 and apply it to our life, is this. Your harvest is determined by your distribution. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you sow fleshly, you're going to reap corruption. But if you will sow into the spirit aspect of your life, if you will sow things that are good, things that are lovely, things that are precious, things that are pure, you will receive such a harvest. So your harvest is determined by your distribution. What that means is what you are putting out determines what will come in. Some people wonder why their finances are always messed up. Why can't we ever get ahead? Why does it seem like we're always a day late and a dollar short? We don't have what we need, and it seems like we're not blessed and we're not prospering and we're always behind. We're always late on our bills. We're always late on the rent. We don't ever have everything that we need. We're having to put it on the credit card and we're going in the red every single month. Why is it? But then they don't want to check and realize that maybe they're living stingy and selfish and they're not sowing where they need to be sowing, so they can't reap where God wants them to be able to reap. If you want to be able to reap financially, then you're going to have to be willing to sow financially, because whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I tell you this all the time, but I believe it to be true. This thing that Pastor Lauren read and declared over you today, and I want to see every single one of us walk in financial freedom and liberty. It's not called the keeper's blessing. It's called the sower's blessing. Because if you want to reap a harvest, you're going to have to be willing to sow. And I'm not trying to get at your money. I'm not trying to get at your pocketbook. What I am trying to do is teach you the kingdom principle that if you want to live blessed, then you're going to have to sow abundantly, not just giving foolishly, but having wisdom in your heart, being a cheerful giver and saying, you know what? I'm going to sow my money into the kingdom of God, because I believe there is no better place that it could possibly be than in the hands of the Lord. Some people wonder why everything seems to go wrong. The car always breaks down. You know, relationships are always stressed. Things are always an issue. The kids are always at one another. You know, everything goes wrong at work. But then they don't want to check their conversations that they're sowing with their words and realize your conversation is full of negativity. It's full of complaining. It's full of doubt. It's full of worry. And what you're doing when you speak those words, because life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If you're always saying everything's always broke down, nothing ever goes right, why is it that everything goes this way for us, we never have enough, we never can get ahead. If you're sowing those kinds of words, then guess what? You're going to reap those kinds of rewards. And so we have got to learn, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So here's what I want to say to you today. If you don't like what you're reaping, change what you're sowing. It's that simple. I'll tell you this. When we have planted a garden in the past, we're not this year, because we're not this year. I could tell you many reasons why, but mostly it's just because our gardens just aren't that good, okay? And so I'm going to focus on a spiritual sowing so that I can reap a spiritual harvest, because my natural sowing and harvesting is a brown thumb, not a green thumb, okay? But when we did plant stuff, we didn't really plant many tomatoes. You know why? I don't like tomatoes. Now, Pastor Bonnie was very precious and kind. She gave us some tomato plants, and because Madison does like tomatoes, but I don't eat tomatoes. Now, I love ketchup, I love spaghetti sauce, and I love salsa, but I don't like tomatoes. And you can ask why. All I would say is I'm complex. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't really know why it works that way, but I don't really like tomatoes. But I like all those things that come from tomatoes. So, but the thing is if I don't like something, I'm not going to invest the time, the money, and the resources to plant that thing. So if you don't like what you're reaping, quit sowing it. If you don't like negativity, if you don't like things breaking down and not going right, then quit sowing negativity and speaking that things are not going right and they're never going to go right. Start speaking in faith. Start speaking the word of God over your life, over your children, over your relationships, over your finances. If you don't like the harvest you're getting, change your seed. Get some different seed. Get some different vernacular, some different wording. Start to speak in faith. Start to speak positively. You know, some Christians have an issue. We shouldn't be about positive talk. So you want to talk negatively? Paul said, let all unwholesome, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, except that which is necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. We need to be conscious about what we're sowing with our mouth. But I want to say this to you today. Proper distribution will ensure proper return, but you cannot get a return on what you are unwilling to distribute. You cannot get a return if you're unwilling to sow. If you will not sow, you can't expect a harvest. Because listen, God is not obligated to bless you. He's good. He's faithful. He's kind. He will bless you, but he is not obligated to bless you. But you know what he is? He is desirous that you would live a blessed and a prosperous life. You know, some Christians also, they have an issue with the term prosperity. And I understand there's prosperity preachers out there that they twist the word of God and it's greedy and it's out for gain. I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about today. But do you realize that in the word of God, prosperity is there for the people of God? He doesn't just want you to prosper financially. He wants you to prosper in your spirit, in your soul, in your body. He wants you to be healthy mentally. He wants you to be healthy spiritually. He wants you to be healthy physically, because the book of Psalms says that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his saints. That means that when he looks down and he sees Shane and Shelley prospering, it does his heart well. He wants to see you blessed. He wants to see you grow. He wants to see you live beyond where you ever thought that you could be. Maybe you're the first one in your family to graduate or to get out of debt. Maybe you're the first one to go where nobody else could or wanted or thought that they could go. He looks down and he takes pleasure in that. In fact, in the book of Jeremiah, he says, "I know the thoughts that I have towards you," says the Lord. Thoughts to what? To prosper you, not to harm you. To give you hope and to give you an expected end. He wants your harvest to be blessed. Now let's talk about what is harvest. Because we've talked about it a lot. Now it's important that you understand that we define what harvest is. It's simply this. It's the season when crops are gathered. We have it every single year. In spring and in fall, after you've planted, there is a harvest. There's a season. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even really matter what season it's in. There's a season for planting and there's a season for harvest. But there's a time period between the sowing of the seed and the gathering of the harvest. But what we're talking about is the season when you step in and you're able to reap the things that you have been sowing. And I hope for your sake that you're able to reap an abundant harvest that's a blessed harvest, and you're not having to reap the negativity and the doubt and all those things. That's why I'm saying we've got to be so focused. If we're going to talk about harvest, we first got to focus on what are we sowing, because that is going to determine our harvest. But the harvest is the result of what has already been sown. What that means is when you plant corn, you don't get beans. When you plant corn, there's going to come a time, there's going to come a season of harvest when you have to reap the corn that you sowed. So when we're talking about harvest, we have to be willing to address, what am I sowing? What am I sowing with my words while I'm at work? What am I speaking over my spouse? What am I speaking over my children? What am I speaking over my life? How are you sowing financially? How are you sowing into your children? Are you spreading the gospel in your everyday life when you're outside of the house of God? Because listen, remember what Paul said. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Not that might he also reap. This is a promise from God. Yeah. He didn't say, if you sow, you might reap. He said, if you sow, you shall reap. And whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. So if you sow stingy, you're going to reap stingy. If you sow negativity, you're going to reap negativity. It's a kingdom principle. That's why Paul said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. If you sow it, you are going to reap it. So before you sow, here's what you need to do. Make sure you're okay with the return. Before you sow, before you speak something, make sure you're going to be okay with what's going to come back. Before you give something, make sure you're going to be okay with what's going to come back. I want to see you get a 100-fold return, and I want you to be okay with what you're going to get of that 100-fold return. Because you know what? There may come a time in your life when you need prayer for healing. There may become a time in your life when you need grace. You need mercy. You need forgiveness. You need compassion. And guess what? If you've been a person that's sown those things, when it comes time for your season of need, you'll be able to harvest those things. But if you're someone that when somebody, you hear of a need in the church and there's somebody, they're sick and they have need of prayer, they have need of peace, they have need of, you know, of us to gather around them, and you're like, well, I don't really have time, or I don't really know what to say, or you're just not mindful of it. Guess what? Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If there arises a need, there's somebody around you in your family, in the church, they have need of something, and you have the ability to provide for their need, and you choose instead, well, if I give that, then I'm not really going to have it, and I'm not going to give it to them, then guess what? When your time of need arises, and every single one of us come, it may not be a financial need, it may be an emotional need, it may be a spiritual need, it may be something else. Guess what? When that time comes, you're going to have to reap what you've sown in the past. I want to show you this. In the scripture, there was a man who was a prophet, Elijah. He was sent by God in the midst of a famine and a drought to a widow woman in Zarephath, and she was gathering sticks, and she was going to make a fire, and she was going to bake a little cake, and she and her son were going to eat that cake, and then they were going to die. And the prophet said, "Can I have a drink of water?" She said, "Yeah, I'll make you a drink of water." He said, "Oh, yeah, make me a cake first, too." And you know what? She decided that she was going to sow into the life of the prophet, and she was going to give him what would cost her. It was all she had left. And because she gave to him, you know what God blessed her house with? He said, "Your flour bin and your vat of oil will not run dry until the day that this famine has departed from the earth." And you know what? God was faithful to do it. Why? Because what she sowed, that she also reaped. Because she was willing to give what seemed sacrificial in the moment, she reaped from it. So whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. Now here's another truth about harvest. We read earlier in Genesis, the 8th chapter, that after Noah had been divinely warned by God, he built an ark. He rescued not only his family, but even every kind of animal from the earth. And when the flood waters had finally receded and subsided from the earth, it says that God said in his heart that he would never curse the earth again. For man's sake, he would never again destroy every living thing, but he made a promise. You know what his promise was? While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. Here's one thing. We've sang about it over and over again today, and it's a theme of today, I think, that God wants us to grasp and to realize, is if God promises something, you can count on it. He is faithful. And he said all the way back when he started, you know what God did really is he started over with Noah. Because he'd created man and woman in his image. Things had gotten so out of hand, so sinful, so wicked that he said, you know what? I'm wiping it all out and I'm starting over with the one just man that I can find on the earth. And when he started over with Noah, he made a commandment and a promise that he cannot go back on. He cannot deny himself. If he said it, he is obligated to do the things that he said he will do. And he said, I will always make sure that on the earth there is seed time and there is harvest. So that means that as long as we are on the earth, or as long as Jesus tarries, this should be exciting news for us. Because as long as we're sowing the right things, we can be reaping the right things. If this is a scary thing to you, it's simply because you're sowing the wrong things. Because you know one day I'm going to have to eat what it is that I'm sowing right now. But if as long as you're sowing properly, this should be something that's exciting for you, that you realize as I'm faithful to give to the Lord and to give to those that are around me, there will not be lack in my household. Just like that widow that was in Zarephath, that as she gave out of her lack, God blessed her with abundance and she had every single thing that she needed. And as you sow words of encouragement and kindness into your family, into your friends and the people around you, there will not be left a time on this earth when there will not be somebody around to encourage you in your time of difficulty. There's nothing scarier than one day having to be completely alone. Nobody would want to find themselves in a place one day where there's nobody around to fellowship with them, to encourage them, to build them up. Well, then that's why you need to be the type of person that you will be that for somebody else. Because if you sow it, guess what? There's a promise. You will reap it in your life. We're promised seed time and harvest. So the question isn't, will you reap? The question is, what will you reap? The question is not, will I get a harvest? The answer's already been determined for us by the Word of God. As long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and there will be harvest. So the question is not, will you have a harvest? The question is this, what are you going to be harvesting? What's going to be in your barn? What's going to be in your return? And what determines it? Simply, what you sow. Because whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. Now, I want you to sow generously so that you can reap substantially. And again, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about everything in our life. Because that's what Paul said. Whatever you sow. He wasn't just talking about money. He was talking about whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. But in 2 Corinthians 9:6, Paul says this. But this I say, whoever sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. But whoever sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So it's not just in what you sow, but it's also in how you sow. So if you sow sparingly, guess what? You'll reap a sparing harvest. Because it's true. I mean, we cannot defy the laws of nature that God himself set up. If you sow one row of corn, guess what you're reaping? One row of corn. But if you sow 20 rows of corn, guess what you're reaping? 20 rows of corn. Now, there is multiplication involved because, with things that you sow, whether it's, let's say, a zucchini plant, you sow one zucchini plant, but you can get tons of zucchinis off of that one plant, right? And so I'm not saying that God will not multiply what you sow. What I'm saying is, as you sow, you can only get the measure to which you sow, not specifically, but in that vein where if you sowed 4 zucchini plants, you might get 100 zucchinis. But if you sowed one, you might only get 20. So what I'm saying is if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. So showing us this, our harvest is based upon the proportion of our sowing. So as you sow, that shall you also reap. Now, Paul was specifically talking about money in this passage, if you go and you study it out. But it most definitely applies to each and every aspect of our life. And that is that if we sow sparingly, and that word sparingly literally means stingily. If you sow in a stingy manner, here's the other thing I want you to get. It's not about the dollar amount when it comes to giving money. And it's not even about, when you give that, it's got to be this much money in order for it to be blessed. No, it's about stinginess and generosity are a matter of the heart, not a matter of the bank account or of the dollar amount. So if you give $1,000, but you give with a stingy heart, you're going to reap a stingy blessing. But if you sow $2 with a generous heart, God looks at it and he goes, that is going to be a bountiful blessing. That's going to be a return. Why? Because you gave it in generosity. So I'm not just talking about reaching deeper and giving more. I'm talking about what heart do you give it in? Because that's what God says. He loves a cheerful giver, which comes from the heart. That's like when Jesus was at the temple and he saw the woman put the 2 mites into the offering. And he said, guys, she gave more than everybody else because she gave out of her lack. They gave out of their abundance. She gave with generosity. They probably had stingy hearts in the way that they were giving. So it's not just about how much money you give. It's about the way in which you give it, that you give with a generous heart. Now, there's another type of harvest that I want to cover and we should be passionate about as we are everything else that I've been talking about. And that is the harvest of souls into the kingdom of God. That's a spiritual harvest that we want to see the lost get saved. I don't want to see people in DeKalb County go to hell. I don't want to see my family. I don't want to see my friends. I don't want to see the neighbor at the grocery store go to hell. I want us to be a church that is passionate about seeing the lost get saved. And that's the harvest of souls into the kingdom of God. Seeing the lost saved, seeing the captive set free. I want this house, the Well Fort Payne, to be a place that when you attend here on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, it stimulates the advancement of the kingdom of God in your life. That something inside of you stirs that you go, I want to see people get saved. I don't want to just see my life get better. I want to see other people get pulled out of the depths of despair and their feet set up on a rock. And I want to see Jesus change their life the same way that he has changed my life. I want this to be a place where we will do anything short of sin to help somebody get to Jesus Christ. That just like those men in the book of Luke, or excuse me, in the book of Mark, they opened up the ceiling of the house that Jesus was in, and they lowered their friend to him because they were like, whatever it takes to get him into the presence of Jesus, I will be willing to do that. That's the kind of person that I want to be. That's the kind of person, people I want us to be, that we would do anything necessary to get people to Jesus. I want to encourage you, don't just invite people to church. I hope that you do that. It should be an everyday part of the life of a believer, because if we really believe that Jesus has changed our life and that this is the pillar and the ground of truth, then we would really be mean not to invite people to come here. But what I really want to see is us get people to Jesus, not just get people to church. Now, when they come here, hopefully they encounter Jesus, but they should be able to encounter him in your life. And you can be a part of the harvest that God wants to produce in this earth. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, and I'll begin to close with this. Jesus is speaking, and he says, and it says of Jesus, it says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages. He was teaching in their synagogues, and he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Oh, that we would be moved with compassion for people when we see that they're lost and they're broken and they're hurting. Because they were weary and they were scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, this was Jesus' point of action when he saw the people that were hurting and that were broken and needed a shepherd. He said to his disciples, listen, y'all, the harvest is truly plentiful. But there's an issue, there's a problem, and we need to right this problem. We need to right this issue. Here's the issue. There aren't enough laborers for the harvest. There's a great harvest outside of those doors, but there's not enough people that are willing to do the work necessary to reap the harvest that is out in the world. So here's the issue. There's few laborers, but here's the answer to the issue. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Something I want to always be intentional to point out, it's not our harvest, it's his harvest. Amen. It's not the Wellfort Payne's harvest, it's his harvest. It's not First Baptist harvest, it's his harvest. When people get saved, they don't belong to us, they belong to him. They're a part of his harvest. But we must become passionate about seeing the broken healed and the bound set free. Jesus, it says, was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. When you're moved with compassion, it means this. It means that you've gone beyond the point of just being empathetic and you are moved to action. That's what it means to have compassion. Compassion is always paired with action. It's not just, oh, I feel sorry for you. That's pity. Compassion is, I have to do something about the condition that you're in. And that's what true compassion is. The harvest is plentiful, he said, but there's an issue. The laborers are few. Let's be people like Isaiah, that he would say, send me. I'll go. Because God said, who can we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah was like, over here, Lord. Send me. I'll go. What if all of us today answered that call and we said, you know what? I understand. I see the issue. There's a harvest out there that's plentiful, but there's obviously enough laborers. What if every single one of us said, Lord, commission me to be a laborer in the harvest field that you want to bring into the kingdom of God? Commission me. Send me. I'll share the gospel. I'll help the hurting. I'll encourage the downcast. I'll lessen the load of someone else. I'll give sacrificially if it means someone else can have the opportunity to hear the gospel and meet Jesus. Send me. I'll go. Because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Let that not be said in Fort Payne, Alabama, DeKalb County, and the surrounding areas, because we would say, Lord, I'll be a laborer in your harvest field. I'll be one that would go out and would share the love of Jesus Christ, because I've experienced it, and now I want other people to experience it. I've been a part of the harvest. I want to bring in the harvest. And let us be people that so bountifully so that we can reap bountifully. Amen. Can you stand to your feet with me today? If you would, bow your heads, close your eyes with me today. What I'm going to do is pray for you, like I do each and every Sunday morning. And today I want you to do this. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to search your heart. And let Him expose any area where you've been stingy, selfish, unwilling to give, whether that's monetarily, whether that's in encouragement. Maybe you've been sowing the wrong seeds with your mouth. Listen, the book of James says, blessing and curses, they should not be flowing out of the same mouth. If you've been speaking curses over people, things, your life, your belongings, all you have to do today is ask God to forgive you, confess it, move on, and say, Lord, I want to begin to speak life. I want to sow words. And Lord, I pray that the things that have been sown, that were sown wrongfully, that were sown in sin, I pray that you would please cause me to not have to reap those things. But by your grace and your mercy, I choose to go the other way. And I want to begin to sow so that I can see a harvest. I can see a full return. I can see a blessing. So Lord, I pray that over your people today. I pray that you would expose the areas where we've been sowing. Lord, pinpoint, not just kind of show us a little bit, but show us exactly in detail. Give us attention to detail to see where we've been speaking and sowing things that are wrong over our children, over our spouse, over our own life. Lord, areas where we've been stingy in our heart, reveal them so that we can sow properly, that in time and in turn we can reap a harvest that is bountiful, that is blessed, that's 100-fold. We don't want to be somebody that sows sparingly, but we want to sow bountifully so that we can reap bountifully. Lord, I thank you that you've given us a promise that as long as we're here on the earth, there will be seed time and there will be harvest. So help us to choose wisely what we sow, so that we can in due time reap the harvest when we have not given up, we've not grown faint, but we've pressed on and we've been faithful to you as you have always been and always will be faithful to us. We trust you today. In Jesus' precious name, I pray a blessing over your people. I thank you that you want us to be blessed and you want us to be prosperous. Help us to not become selfish, greedy, or conceited in that manner, but help us to receive everything that you have for us and nothing that you don't want for us. We surrender our hearts to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. We love you so much. Can't wait to see you Wednesday night. God bless.